murky. It's not quite the business. And thank you very much indeed. That takes me into the time. The last paper this morning is to do with enforcement of food legislation and at the local government level. Hopefully something you're not experienced from a nasty point of view. Stuart is going to deliver a paper on the changing role of law enforcement, its trust that verifies.
Well, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I'd like to thank the organisers for inviting me here today and to provide you with perhaps a parallel view of, rather than the conference theme, and I welcome you all to the West Country. As one of the more mature members of the IFSD, and we seem to be going through this one by one, I'm first by the oldest. Let me remind you of the situation when I first came into contact with the food industry in the 1960s. The 1960s were dangerous times. In society, sex, drugs and rock and roll were rife. You remember? Yeah. Oh, great. But ladies and gentlemen, in the food industry, it was worse. How could you exist within a world with little quality assurance, no HACCP, no quality assurance and certainly no documented quality systems? And certainly no third-party audits. And do you know what? Some of us lived to tell the tale. The point is, what was right then is not right now. And we must remember that what's common practice today won't be accepted tomorrow. Well, this morning, I'm going to try and review the local government role in carrying out food law enforcement work. Mainly, I'll try to refer to the food manufacturing sector. I want to try and review the legislation that defines the food control role and explain the enforcement visits to businesses. And I'll try and say a little bit about the confused world, the political system and the structural system in which we work. I want to have a brief view of local authority priorities, those identified as, well, when I put this presentation together, because they do tend to change frighteningly quickly. And I want to explain some of the difficulties of getting them, the challenges to get them delivered. And finally, I want to gaze into my crystal ball and tell you a little bit of what I see in the future. Almost all food legislation originates in the EU. The responsibility for enforcement is devoted to each member state. The Food Standards Agency, as you've heard, is the competent authority, and the FBO monitors the role. The delivery of food law enforcement is mainly through the local authorities, trading standards, environmental health departments, and their associated laboratories, who apply the official controls. Local authorities have sought consistency and coordination through a series of local, regional, and national committees, with the latter one, the national committees within LACORS. The responsibility for food law enforcement is delivered through the framework agreement, and this was developed by the Food Standards Agency, the Local Government Association and LACORS. It provides the UK with a harmonised system of operational planning. Local authority food inspectors, and they only average 6 per authority, visit food businesses at a regular interval, gathering evidence to ensure that the business is in compliance with all the legislation. They have to be professionally qualified, they have to be experienced to be competent to carry out their tasks before being authorised by their employer to use the legal powers provided to enforce the law. The task the local authorities must carry out is detailed in legislation. The General Food Regulation provides the strategic approach, ensuring safe and correctly labelled food in the EU. It also requires member states to enforce the food laws. The Food Control Regulation, as we've heard earlier, is there to eliminate risk, to commit fair trading practices and to protect consumer interests. It defines the controls to be carried out and details how they're controls to be used and details how they are to be carried out. The criteria of visit frequency is also defined, but the actual intervals between the official controls is left with each member state to establish. Just returning to the theme of the conference, the food control regulation neatly identifies the difference between an audit and an enforcement inspection. An inspection is carried out by local government officials, and it might include an audit, but in practice it involves very much more. The regulation lists all the tasks to be carried out for food control by food control officials, and as you can see, it's pretty comprehensive. I'm sure any academic here could easily develop these headings into a viable 3-year undergraduate course. The Food Standards Agency provides documents, the Food Law Code of Practice, together with practice guidance, and that this is 400 pages of practical instructions for enforcement. There's a whole chapter on interventions. This is a relatively new term, but includes official controls. Perhaps the core of this element, core of this document, is the Food Establishment Intervention Rating Scheme. This has been devised as an assessment of the degree of risk that each establishment poses to either hygiene or food standards. Once established, the frequency of inspection can be anything from every 6 months to once every 5 years. The structure of each local authority and the arrangement of the departments within that local authority can dramatically affect the priorities and therefore the effectiveness of the food law enforcement system. The status of enforcement departments in local government has been reduced. One time there were teams of professional officers who ran the county council, the district council, but now there's fewer multidisciplinary directorates. The problem is when local authority, when food law enforcement priorities are diluted, then the resources follow the other priorities. A fundamental requirement from central government is that local authorities should bring their policies, their priorities and initiatives from central government and apply them at local level. And this is undermining the traditional councillor-led local priority and decision-making. It was the Rogers Report in 2007 that tried to identify the policies of national importance within the plethora of the areas that local authorities have to enforce. And here you can see this is what Rogers came up with. And really we need to look at this little section here. This is the national priorities. Only the hygiene of food businesses came within that area. Other areas of food are of at best local importance. The trouble was, once this was published, some local authorities rushed to take resources away from the local level and put them into the national priorities. So they picked out one of the areas here and food law enforcement went down a notch. So to sum up this section, although the EU legislation is in place and nationally the Food Standards Agency is the competent authority, ultimately, the delivery of enforcement is largely outside of their control. Food enforcement inspections are carried out across the whole food chain. Before any visit, the officer needs not only to be aware of all the laws that apply to that particular business, but also they should have a good understanding of their content and the relevance to the visit itself. This isn't any small task, because those of you who are familiar with legislation realise it's extensive, it's diverse, complex, and in some cases just downright confusing. The inspection may well open with a general discussion with the food business operator as to his current situation. The official will disclose what they intend to do on site and the areas planned to be inspected. The tasks the official controls may include many of those areas familiar to the third-party auditor. And on the day, one or perhaps several of those areas may be looked at, whether it's the hygienic control of conditions, assessment of hazard processing, paperwork audit, composition of the ingredients, the accuracy of the labels, or traceability, for instance, of the packaging. All are involved. At the completion of the visit, the officer will provide the business with the results of the inspection. They'll carefully separate out what they found to be illegal and what could be better practice. This is all part of the advice. However, there are other essential tools that are available for enforcement that aren't available for third-party auditors. And I'll try and dwell for a minute on food sampling. Because food sampling is an independent assessment in real time, not just a review of the results of previous tests or a systems audit. It allows an assessment of what the business is actually doing, rather than what they say they're doing, or in some cases, what they think they're doing. Those enforcing food standards legislation regularly take samples which are sent to the Public Analyst Laboratory for chemical analysis. The checks can be as varied as levels of contaminants in the raw materials, the additive level in the final products, and assessment of the quid declaration, the accuracy of the nutritional information. All of these are commonly assessed. Routine microbiological tests are less common, but they're sent to the Health Protection Agency usually for testing. If legal sampling procedures are followed, then formal statutory action may be taken following an adverse report. If the inspector finds non-compliance, then there are a set of graded measures to put things right. Ultimately, the most serious hygiene cases, enforced closure of the business can take place. Prosecution may follow, but that's very rare in practice. In general terms, food manufacturers and caterers are considered to be high risk by the Code of Practice Risking System. At the other end of the scale, alternative enforcement strategies, which aren't official controls, have been developed. These have been developed to reduce the capacity that's needed to enforce the legislation at that level. The idea is that the time saved of these businesses with the lowest risk can theoretically allow an increase of resources at the high-risk businesses, although for the multidisciplinary departments in local authorities, this isn't necessarily in the food sector. Most businesses welcome the food control visit. They provide free information on legislation, free systems audit, a free assessment of the legal compliance, and usually a free chemical analysis of the products as well. They have advice to put things right, all free. It could be argued that the effectiveness of enforcement is demonstrated by the scarcity of major food poisoning outbreaks, and also the fact that food businesses are very rarely prosecuted. But the reality is that the impact of enforcement has proved to be extremely difficult to evaluate, either at a local or a national level, due in part to the complexity of the system of arrangements that take place. The Food Standards Agency, as a competent authority, have a legal duty to monitor the effectiveness of local authority food visits. For many years, the local authorities have been sending to central government the detailed information of their official controls they've been carrying out. But when the Food Standards Agency started to scrutinise the data, it became it became clear it was impossible to draw any meaningful conclusions from that. A new monitoring scheme has been established, but it's really too early to make any judgment of the trends. In addition to the monitoring, there's the Food Standards Agency audit local authority performance against the framework agreement using their own staff. For the results of these audits, the monitoring scheme and the general support that local authorities have provided to the Food Standards Agency, the Food Standards Agency generally has been very supportive of the work of the local authority enforcement. However, the most analytical critique of the enforcement system, though narrow in scope, is the excellent report of the Pennington Inquiry into the E. coli outbreak in South Wales in 2005. 18 months before the outbreak, an audit by the Food Standards Agency of the main local authority involved suggested the findings of the audit team were favourable. Pennington reviewed the performance and assessed the effectiveness throughout the food chain, throughout the inspection system, not just the local authority level, leading to this E. coli outbreak. He had the benefit of hindsight, he had the benefit of a criminal investigation, and he painted a somewhat different picture. The Food Standards Agency is now in the initial stages of reviewing the delivery of official controls throughout the EU, throughout the UK. One of the great fascinations of the food industry to me, and one of the great drawbacks to food control, is the sheer diversity and its complexity. Each food sector has its own equipment, its own ingredients and processes, and the enforcement officer has to enforce them all. They see a snapshot depending not only of the factory production on that particular day, but also the types of food control activity that they actually carry out. Due to the sector diversity, the knowledge, the experience, and the training and skills of the inspectors, no two inspectors will be identical. And I think this is an essential part of the current food control system. However, the outcome, the judgment of legal compliance of the company and the assessment of the risk into a high, medium and low category should be similar. It was Darwin, in his classic Origin of Species, made a fundamental statement about survival. Those that adapt to change survive. The theme was echoed by Bob Dylan in the 1960s, when he captured the emotion of the times with his iconic records. Ladies and gentlemen, it seems to me that changing times could be equally applicable to today. Whereas the Food Standards Agency has retained responsibility for enforcement and food safety in recent changes, in England, DEFRA and Department of Health have regained their former roles as lead policy departments for food and diet and health. How they interact with each other and other interested parties is not yet known. In the recent debate about waste food and the linkage to use-by dates is anything to go by, it's still best work in progress. There are a number of substantial topics on the political agenda that need to be resolved, and it's not all of these being driven by departments with food responsibilities. The widening of the primary authority concept, developments in the earned immunity debate, and a mechanism to incorporate them all in the enforcement system and still protect the consumer in times of austerity seem all significant challenges. Local government is set to retain their enforcement role for the next few years at least. I can't see there's really any priority in the coalition government for change in this area. But the current challenge is all about resources. Local government funding from central government is being reduced by 28% by 2015. Our local authority, Taunton Deane, said it's 40% loss of revenue. Some enforcement departments in this, the first year of cuts, has already lost half their staff. Others seem to have escaped so far. Many experienced staff have gone already. Recruitment is at a standstill and training is much reduced. Some local authorities are already only targeting just the high-risk businesses. The loss of LACOURS as the coordination at local level is incomprehensible. Government departments, industry groups and enforcement departments are the losers here. For some companies, the loss of regular enforcement visits may be considered to be fairly neutral, as they've got most of the legislative issues actually controlled in-house. But it's the micro businesses and the small medium enterprises, the very businesses that are expected to grow and lead us out of recession, that rely on visits from local government staff to provide them with support and guidance, that they will be the ones who suffer most. They're not part of trade associations and they don't have time to attend conferences like this. But I've whittled on long about resources. However, there may be a light on the horizon. The EU legislation permits charging of food control measures. The Meat Hygiene Agency, for instance, do it already. There's a recent regulation controlling high-risk non-animal products, and that allows charging as well. The EU is reviewing the mechanism to allow charging for food control activities. Spring next year brings the new proposals. Already the Food Standards Agency, they've initiated a debate to consider the benefits of passing on enforcement charges to the industry generally. Quoting the FSA documents, I think the consultation says, how fees could serve as a tool to encourage compliance, effective and efficient delivery of official controls, and greater ownership of delivery of official controls by FBOs. This new approach to charge for inspections will, of course, be supported by the food industry. It will allow enforcement teams to drive the cowboys that we all hear about out of the industry and permit fair trading to continue. But then, the difference between an enforcement visit and a third-party audit. So do we need them both? Would supermarkets accept local authority food business assessments? Surely it would strengthen any of their due diligence defences. Perhaps there's an opportunity, on the other hand, for private inspection services to become involved at the local authority level to give them more capacity at a lower cost than in-house staff. Now, I'm not the one to ask about new technology. I learned to write on a piece of hewn slate with a slate pencil. I haven't progressed very far. There clearly have to be new ways of working. Should inspections be carried out using video equipment in real time to be beamed back to the department for a more experienced officer to scrutinise? I note that some fishing boats and slaughterhouses now have CCTV to monitor and therefore perhaps control their activities. At the very least, third-party audits must be taken into account when the Code of Practice, the Food Business Risking System, is reviewed. Third-party accreditation has already been accepted by the Food Standards Agency in the system developed for hygiene inspections at farmers, the primary production level, where Associated British Food Group members are inspected much lower frequency.
5 minutes.
Yeah. Sure. The Food Safety Act gives enforcement authorities a range of powers to ensure compliance with the law. But when irregularities with food businesses are discovered, what criteria can be used to decide the appropriate action? The word to use is proportional. That's the political correct word of today. Remember, proportional. Proportion was on everybody's lips. That's today's word. Yesterday's word was light touch enforcement. However, there are many examples that appear proportional given today's circumstances, but don't seem proportional in the light of tomorrow's unforeseen events, or for that matter, changes in public opinion. In my experience, the pendulum swings worryingly one way, sometimes with unexpected violence. The criteria to decide where along this continuum any food law enforcement decision lies is complex. However, when things go very seriously wrong, enforcement unreasonably seems to get the whole blame. The banks, the social services, some food incidents where enforcement was criticised after the light touch approach failed. Even in August, in the riots in London, blame was heaped on the police because their enforcement response was considered to be inadequate. But it might have been proportional at the time. So what does the future hold? Well, things need to change. Can we start with a clean sheet of paper? Well, of course we can't. What needs to be done? A clear, refined role for the local authority food control has to be established. Ultimately, the priority must be focused on enforcement to satisfy the requirements of the EU legislation. This may well mean less advice and support, but it could align the UK to the more quite a few of the continental enforcement models, and there'd be less conflict of interest. The structure of food responsibilities within the Home Administration is still far from complete. It's likely the Food Standards Agency will evolve into a food control agency for the UK. It seems unlikely that a national service structure for food law enforcement will emerge anytime soon, but I think that is the way forward, probably the only way forward. The enforcement team should be based at a regional level for activities involving primary production, food manufacturers and processors, and to liaise with home authorities, businesses. Local officers would be established dealing with retail and catering, but there'd be close cooperation with the two levels. Professional food control officers would be developed from environmental health and trading standards officers that we have now. Regional laboratories would provide seamless chemical and microbiological service to the enforcement teams. These would be coordinated by and linked to a national laboratory. Well, the conclusions. I hope I've explained to you the present situation of food law enforcement, its legal base, the structure and practices both at local and national level. I've hinted at a regime that could provide a significant improvement given the political will and resources to carry it out. At the present time, neither of those are in place. Had the recent E. coli outbreak in bean sprouts in Germany and France occurred in the UK, then that might have provided that incentive for change. In the immediate future, we have a situation of dramatically reducing resources, which haven't been experienced before either at national or local government level. Enforcement is refocusing on those businesses which are likely to break the law and affect consumers and communities in which they serve, but they may not be food businesses at all. Is it a Burberry handbag? Oh dear. Okay. Right. I've mentioned third-party food audits, where they do or may interact with enforcement. There's got to be a strong link due to the duplication that I think is currently happening at the present time. Costs have to be saved. Experienced enforcement staff recognise that third-party reports are an extremely valuable resource when undertaking a food control visit, and I suspect they'll become even more so in future. It just might be that in the current environment will drive enforcement towards just a little more trust and just enough verification to confirm legal compliance. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank all the speakers for finishing nice and promptly. We have a short period of questions. I'll immediately ask if anybody's got any questions to do it while it's hot.